Welcome to the Chroma Church Podcast.
Find your Bibles. We're in Acts. Last week we read a big chunk, big story. This week we're going to do a few verses. Go to Acts chapter 12, verse 25. I think this is fun. I know we're up and down all the time. Stand up. Come on, this is the word of the Lord. So, Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem where they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was from Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Amen. Take a seat. So, this week, we're back in Antioch. And this is a church that's willing to become a sending church. So there are different types of churches, okay? We see them all on our streets, all on our street corners. There is no better church, okay? There's not one church that's better than another church. The Lord, when he looks at his church, he sees the church. But each church has a call from God, has a mission from God, a specific work to do. And I've always described churches like buses, okay? They are all going to the same destination, but they're taking different routes. So you need to be on the bus that is the right route for your journey or call. And let me say something about sending churches. They're exhausting, okay? Because nothing stays the same for long. Because people are always coming and going. So they're an exhausting church to be part of, a wonderful church. So we read there were prophets and teachers at Antioch. Why is Luke highlighting this? Well, I think firstly because we need to hear from God, and then we need to train and prepare people so people can be sent prepared for service, Ephesians 4. So it looks like at Antioch, there were five resident teachers or prophets. Okay, so we have Barnabas from Cyprus. We have Simeon from Africa, and this could be Simon of Cyrene who carried the cross of Jesus. A lot of the commentators think it's the same Simon. Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, a Greek from youth who was raised in Herod's household, and then Saul from Tarsus. And what I want you to notice is John Mark isn't in the list. Why? Because John Mark is a trainee. He's only just joining the gang. And he's coming up from Jerusalem, but he's not on the list of prophets and teachers. He's a trainee. And he's about to go on a learning journey, and we're going to read more about him. And while they're worshipping and fasting, I always prefer the worshipping bit. All right, the fasting just makes me hungry, which is probably the reason we're meant to fast. Who is worshipping and fasting? The whole church. The whole church is gathered. The Holy Spirit speaks and he says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." And when you read in the scriptures order, I want you to know Barnabas and Saul. Barney's the one that's doing all the hard work. Okay, Saul has just come into the story. He's been teaching at Antioch for a year. And when we gather, there is Jesus in our midst, speaking, anointing, and sending. That's why it's so fun when we gather. And what we read is they were ministering to the Lord. So when we gather, it is for Jesus, not for us. So our worship is always unto him. So sometimes, you know, people go, "Well, I don't know if I like this style of worship." I don't, you know, and I always think that's a really weird thing to say, because worship isn't for you. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's whether he likes it. What does he think of our worship? So he has called them to be set apart. What for? I always ask these questions. What? And it's interesting. It's very vague. The Holy Spirit has just set them apart for the work that I have for them. Okay, how is this delivered? Well, probably through the prophets. That's why Luke has just told us there's prophets at Antioch. He's making it clear. He's explaining to us how church works. And then note that they pray before and after to test the word and the call. So this is a prayerful church, and it is the Holy Spirit who commissions them. Really clear. Luke is saying a number of times, the Holy Spirit is commissioning them. So what I want to do quickly, we've got, 18 minutes, to talk about prophets in the church. So I'm going to move fast. We can all prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14. This does not make us a prophet. Just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. Just as every Christian can speak in tongues or can prophesy. In fact, Paul says we are to desire to prophesy, to speak words of God that flow from the Holy Spirit to strengthen, encourage, and comfort, 1 Corinthians 14. Both in the Old Testament and New Testament, prophets are anointed by the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, you are to receive the word of a prophet as the word of the Lord. Okay? We're told that God does nothing before telling his prophets. So God is never spontaneous. God always says what he's going to do, Amos 3:7. But often the words that the prophets speak come in parables and riddles unless you are Moses. And we read in Numbers 12:6, when there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Okay, so Moses was different. In the New Testament, we are told to weigh prophecy. Because we can all prophesy, but we see and hear dimly, 1 Corinthians 13. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, prophets are anointed, but also receive training. And in the Old Testament, we see the school of prophets. This is why we have teachers. Prophets away from teachers go into heresy. Teachers away from prophets are dry and boring. Let me say it again. Prophets away from teachers get into heresy. Teachers away from prophets are dry and boring. So think about this. Saul spends 10 years out of the limelight making tents. Then he has a year as a teacher at Antioch. And he has time in Jerusalem before this moment of sending. You see, what we see in the life of Saul and what we're gonna see the outworking in the coming chapters is God has been preparing him. God prepares and trains his apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and leaders, and givers, and all the other ministry areas there are. And we need prophets in the church. But you don't just become a prophet. You don't just wake up one morning and go, I'm a prophet. It doesn't work that way. You have to have a track record. You see, wherever the Holy Spirit is, you will have prophecy. And so because he is with us, so we speak the words of God. It's bubbling up inside of us. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10. But Paul says, do not despise prophecy to the Thessalonian church. Why? Because of the package it comes in. That's what I think. Prophets are a bit mystic. Have you ever met one? A little odd. bit out there. You know, have you read the Bible? Read about the Old Testament prophets? Ezekiel, Elijah, Isaiah. Would you let them in this church? Think about it. They're crazy. Would we let them into this church? Lying naked by the street, cooking their meal on cow dung. Really? They're out there. Prophets see further ahead, so their words are meant to prepare and propel us into what God has for us. Let me say that again. Prophets see further ahead, so their words and actions are meant to prepare us and propel us into all that the Lord has for us. They are often rejected because they see before everyone else. They are speaking often of what is to come. So what I've noticed with prophets is they get revelation. So they have an encounter with God and they see. You know, I remember Jeremiah when he's starting. Jeremiah's a young prophet and the Lord says, what do you see? And he says, I see a branch. And the Lord says, well done, you see well. Then he says, what do you see now? And he says, well, I see a pot. And it's, I think he says, it's tilted to the north. And the Lord says, this is what I'm going to do. So prophets, pretty much when they see the revelation, it's very clear and they're normally correct in what they say. So the revelation of what they get, and I always encourage people that are moving in the prophetic, just say what you see. Just if you see something, say it exactly as you see it. Okay, then comes the interpretation. You see, what they see needs to be interpreted. And now I believe that in the New Testament church is done in community. You know, so when Agabus, you know, we're going to read in a few chapters, is going to, Paul is going to show up and Agabus is going to, you know, turn up for dinner and take his belt off and bind Paul and go, this is what's going to happen to you. And so the obvious interpretation is don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul's going, I don't care if I die. He said, I've given up everything to Jesus. I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. So the obvious interpretation actually isn't right. But what Agabus is seeing is partially right, and we'll talk a little bit more about it when we actually get to those verses. And then the application, which prophets rarely get right, okay, and this really can only happen in the church. You know, so. If it wasn't for the church and Paul and them praying and them giving up with him and going, what does it say? Paul says this, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. Okay, so you see prophecy at work in the life of Paul. But what has happened is there's been revelation, there's been interpretation, and there has to be an application. And so the revelation is almost always right. The interpretation is more difficult, and the application has to be left to the leaders of the church, I believe, in the local community. So the church at Antioch, oh my goodness, is just finding its feet. This is not a good time to lose Saul and Barnabas, but the Holy Spirit says send them anyway. Look, the church is not very good at letting go. Why? Because pastors, by definition, are risk averse. Because they want to keep the sheep safe. Do you see the different mixes in the church that you're going to start to see worked out in Acts? You see the prophets, get out there, go. The evangelists have never come back. You know, and the pastors go, no, you're going to get hurt out there. Stay in here, it's much safer. And you start to see all these different ministries in the church at work. You know, you parents know this. You know, there was a few of the newly married people, well, certainly the people that met here, holding babies. And, you know, when you have your first baby, you wrap them up, you have all the right temperatures on at home, and, you know, you have the most perfect push chair that has, you know, assisted braking, lane control, everything on it, so nothing can possibly go wrong, right? Look, when you know, there's a few families here in this church who've got 8 children. Look, when you're on number 8, you're going, they'll be fine. The kids will push them. Don't worry. Okay, because and it's the same. It is the same in church. There's a sense that we want to protect everyone, but actually, when it all starts going and God starts moving, there is a realize that actually, you know, do you know what? God will look after them. We will prepare them the best we can. We'll raise our kids the best we possibly can. But now they need to go and serve Jesus, and they need to go wherever He's sending them to go. I remember Dan. Some of you know Dan Williams. He's out in Myanmar. He was here a few weeks ago showing off his new wife. And I remember Dan did all the media. He designed all this stage 7 years ago and literally hand-built it. I remember him building all the lighting here. And I remember him coming one day and says, I think God is speaking to me about going to Myanmar. What do you think? And my instant reaction was no. Who's going to make this work? I mean, that was it. But I also know Dan. And I said, well, why don't you go out there for a few weeks and test it out? Why don't you get on a plane, go to Myanmar, hang out with them? I mean, Lisa, there's going to be some jewelry on sale out there. Eden, this is what I'm talking about. She didn't help. She runs Eden. She just said to Dan, because he was working here part-time and filming diggers part-time for Caterpillar. And she didn't help because she went up to him and said, Dan, what do you want to do with your life? Do you want to film diggers for the rest of your life? Or do you want to rescue men and women and children out of the sex trade and change the lives of hundreds of thousands of people? I mean, that's just not fair, is it? You know, so and he went, well, I'd probably like to serve Jesus. And so he went out and he came back and I said, so how'd it go? What do you think? And he says, I think this is the Lord. So he then spent at least another year here getting ready for what he was about to do and go out and prepare himself. What he didn't know was that the government was going to fall in Myanmar, that he was going to be in a war zone. All law and order was going to break down, and that having a camera would be more dangerous than having a gun. And so as COVID hit and all of that, he found himself in a war zone and started filming and telling the story. And then he came back here a few, I think about a year ago, last summer, I think, and showed his documentary on and what they'd found in Myanmar, that Westerners were being trafficked to Myanmar, thinking they were going to get a job, imprisoned in slavery, and doing the financial scams that you hear about on the news. Hundreds of thousands of them. And Dan filmed it. It got to the United Nations, and his film was more accurate than the information the United Nations had on the ground. And they used that to break up some of these gangs and release hundreds and hundreds of Westerners. That's besides all of the women and children that have been rescued out of the sex trade, all because he heard the voice of God. That's what happened. That's one of ours. That's on our CV. You know, when we stand before Jesus and, you know, the hundreds of people that have been released and Lord, he's one of ours. That's how it works in church. You know that, don't you? All the people that, we're running out of time. I've got to move. Teams. Dan went and did that, but we knew Lisa and some of the team out there. Barney has just recruited Saul, and now John Mark joins the team. When God brings people together, it's for a purpose. You know, the last 7 years here, sometimes it's been bumpy, but Juliet has constantly said, the Lord says, keep the team together. No matter what happens, we are better together. We are never ministers in isolation, but the body of Christ. And so we start to get a track record of hearing from God. You know, over the years, many years, I have a track record of hearing from God and implementing what he's saying. Juliet consistently hears from God. You know, I think Tim is a prophet teacher. And some of you go, no, he's a teacher. He's a teacher with a bit of, maybe he's got a bit of prophet. And I actually don't think that's true. I think he's a prophet teacher. I think he carries a prophetic edge. And that's why he's here. He could teach anywhere. But I think the Lord is going to develop the prophetic edge way more on him in the coming years. And you're going to see it. And you heard it here first. But he might have heard it here first. I don't know. But there is, he has that edge of when he teaches. The team that God is building here is wonderful. Each with their very different gifts and calls unto the same mission and vision. So many of you give me prophetic words for which I'm very grateful. I read them and ask the Lord about them. Okay, keep them coming. I file them to see if they come true. And then once you've got a few good ones, you have my attention. That's how it works. You know, so I know the people who, when they give me a word, oh, Kai, remember that last one you gave? That was a hot one. And you see, that's how we start to get a track record. You see, everyone can prophesy. With practice and gifting, you may become prophetic. With years of track record and the calling of God, you will become a prophet. Yeah, I like Margaret Thatcher said, if you're a lady, you don't need to tell people. If you're a prophet, you don't need to tell people. On the whole, prophets don't make good church leaders because they're far too far ahead. They often struggle to be part of the church because they feel rejected. Here at Antioch, we see prophecy nurtured and healthy prophecy in the church delivered, tested, and implemented. Prophets, it's your job to deliver the message. It's rarely your job to implement it. Katia Adams, she's a prophetic lady married to Julian Adams. I think they're South African. They were here for a while. I don't know where they are now. This is what she writes. Isolated prophets are dangerous. Isolated Christians are vulnerable and dangerous. Vulnerable because they're easy pickings. Dangerous because they lose the ability to weigh prophecy. Weighing prophecy is a community action because we prophesy in part and see in part. If you are a Christian who is so offended by the church that you are outside of the church, you automatically deny yourself the ability to weigh accurately. What I want to say is don't allow your feeling of offense to isolate you from the church. Trust that your journey is part of your training and in the hands of the Lord Jesus. See, I love the picture of Antioch, the insight into the inner workings of the local church. And my prayer is that Chroma can become a healthy and exciting sending church just like Antioch as we grow and develop in all of the ministry giftings as the Holy Spirit grants us. Prophecy is weighed within the community of the church. We do not despise prophecy, but prophets mustn't be offended by the church. So all you who are giving your lives to Jesus, you're now in the service of Jesus, preparing to step into all he has for you. But there is a preparation and a community to grow in and be loved in. And then as we are trained and released, many of us and or our children will be sent to the ends of the earth to serve Jesus Christ. It is in the church that we are called, trained, tested, recognized, and sent. For Barney and Saul, and now John Mark, this adventure is about to start in chapter 13. My question to all of us is, will we enter the classroom of the Holy Spirit in this church? Iron sharpens iron, but sometimes there are a few sparks, so that one person sharpens the character of another. Paul will later write, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. As I look at the UK church, we need the prophetic. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit stepping out, sending us into the adventure of winning this nation for him. I want us to see that raised in this church in the coming months and years.
Thanks for listening to the Kerama Church podcast. If you enjoyed this message, you can like and subscribe. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Kerama Church. For more information about us, including our ministries, events, worship, and how to donate, visit our website at kerama.church.